on Lunch Hour, talking about what you want to be talking about. Light Fare,
with a serious spin, whether it be sports, faith, parenting,
balance, relationships, education, community, coaching,
starting over, how do you reboot yourself,
ministry, relevant, resonant, and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in, ask us questions, be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM, WOL.
Noon to 1. All right, this is another Wednesday. Hey, Jackie, how you doing?
Hey, Karen, what's going on? It is definitely that kind of Wednesday, and I know we have our guest on hold, but at some point, maybe after, I guess, we've got to talk about the election in Maryland.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Because if elections, you know, were held on Wednesday, then it would have been a Wildin' Out Wednesday for all of the campaigns that were taking place.
Exactly, exactly. But we'll do that. We'll do that right after we finish with our guest. I also have my niece in here with me, Gabrielle, so we're going to have to do a children's show at some point as well.
Awesome. That'd be good.
Yeah, between your nieces and mine, we can have a real good conversation about what they're talking about for the summer.
That would be an interesting conversation to have an hour of radio with young people. Yeah, we'll work on that.
We'll work on that. So,
well, Gabrielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. How cute.
Okie doke. Let's go.
All right, so our guest this morning or this afternoon here in the DMV on Conversations with Jackie and Karen is none other than Coach Stephen Gregory. Now, I happen to have met Mr. Gregory. They were doing a fundraiser. He coaches a women's basketball team in Houston, and they are one of four Texas teams that is coming to D.C. for the Junior National Basketball Association competition.
Oh, my goodness. Where is that going to be? We're going to ask him where it's at. We got to support that.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Coach.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you? Welcome, welcome.
I am good. Welcome to Conversation with Jackie and Karen.
Thank you for having us.
So tell us, where is the tournament at? How long is it going to be? So we want to make sure we have our cheerleading squad here ready for you.
Okay. The tournament is going to be in Washington, D.C. area. It's going to be July the 21st through the 25th, and it's going to be held at the Convention Center.
Oh, okay. Right downtown.
Yeah, and it's the USJN 17U Nationals. So you have teams from all over the country coming in, and like over 400 college scouts from all over the United States would be there to view the kids and watch them, hopefully get scholarships.
That's an interesting concept. Now, how long have you been coaching your girls, and what does it take to get a girls' basketball team ready? And then the scouts are coming. Is that a lot of pressure for them?
Yes, it is a lot of pressure for them because some of the girls have never played in front of scouts. You know, they're just playing, and you have, you know, hundreds of people just sitting there, not just spectators, but colleges, head coaches, watching and critiquing every move. So they have to get really mentally prepared for that.
That's challenging. That's challenging. But if you're just playing and you're on your game, it makes it a little easier because I would imagine you just flow into a natural rhythm.
Just play.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the girls, just go out there and play and just act like we're just in the gym.
Is there more pressure on girls because there are fewer WNBA teams than boys?
I think it is because you're trying to get the girls to have a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, boys, they just get out there and play and they don't have the same distractions, if you will. And, you know, boys really don't care.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so I think it is a little more pressure
mm-hmm.
For the girls than it is the guys.
And
now, do you,
go ahead, Jen.
No, my question was, do you coach both boys and girls teams, and what have you found to be some of the different dynamics in coaching girls and then getting them ready for tournament play? Because a lot of parents are like, don't talk to my daughter like that. Don't push her so hard. But these are student athletes, and they come with a different level of mentality and discipline and stamina. How do you engage your girls in coaching at that leadership level?
Yes, it is a difference coaching girls versus boys because we do have a boys team as well. And, yes, you do run in that with the parents. Hey, you know, don't talk to to my daughter like that and this and that and the other. And, you know, we're trying to get them mentally, again, mentally prepared for when you go to college. You're playing. They're paying for your education. And they expect you to go out there, no matter what's going on, to perform. And trying to get girls to understand that, because that's not a natural thing. I don't think a natural thing for girls to hear all that extra, you know, drama and hollering and that type of thing there, which sometimes boys can just let it roll off their back and just play. So you do have a different dynamic there. But once they get it, because I think girls are more, they listen more than guys. So that's a good thing, because they are more fundamentally sound and they want to perform. They want to do well. So you do have your differences, so that's the pluses and the minuses I get to that.
Let me ask you, what about Title IX scholarship opportunity? How is that less? And I imagine that would also have an impact on, you know, a girl's ability to play and what might be in the back of her mind about scholarship opportunities to go to college.
Well, now, you know, since the different rulings have passed, girls' basketball has elevated over the years. My oldest daughter is 29, so she started playing. She graduated in 2003. And since that time, the opportunities for girls' basketball has risen tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
With all the different things that have been passed and the different strides that are made and have been made and still being made for girls' basketball. Now, of course, you know, on the money end of it, professionally, that's a whole different thing.
Right.
But collegiate-wise, I mean, the opportunities are there if you really want it.
Mm-hmm. I know that it's tough as well, too, you know, dealing with a whole bunch of women and young women at one time.
Yes, I'm in a house with four of them. With my wife and my three daughters that are at home. So, yes, it is at times.
And then you coach quite a few as well. But I know that it's obviously different than teaching boys. And like you said, because they listen. But I also imagine, because I used to play sports a bit back in the day, but in, well, back in the days.
So she's having her throwback Wednesday moment.
Yeah, right.
Back in the day when I played sports.
Right. I had to make that plural. But I notice now that young women who play, they seemed more focused and yet more socially savvy about what's going on in the world around them, and are really interested in community service as well, too. And they seem to make a good blend and want to not just do well on the court, but also make an impact off the court. Do you find that as well, too, even at this age?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think that once, and that's girls and guys, once they understand the big picture, and I think even in our culture, you know, we have to start early teaching our kids the big picture. You know, when I was younger, not, you know, my grandma just taught me about right now.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't necessarily teach me the big picture. Now we're teaching, you know, girls and guys the big picture. Mm-hmm. You know, not just prepare for today, but just prepare for tomorrow.
That is true.
And that is the thing that I think with our young people is the hardest thing to get them to understand. You have to prepare for tomorrow, not just for right now, not just for today. And if we can get them all to understand that, with basketball, with education, with all, because it all ties in together, I think we will reach more and they will be more successful.
That's a key point, Jackie.
Exactly. Now, what are the ages of the girls that you coach?
Well, there's a high school team that bringing down. But actually, on this high school team, we actually have three eighth graders that will be coming on the high school team. We're bringing 11 girls, and three of my eighth graders, and two of my seniors. And I actually have a senior with me today to talk to you guys. And so they're 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grade.
Those are interesting ages as far as dynamics of coaching, because you've got that range from eighth grade to graduating senior. The emotionalism that goes into tournament play, do you see that in your girls, or is that mental toughness have to be ingrained, or do they come with it already? Because a lot of parents, when I talk to them about, oh, I don't know if I want to go to tournament, you know, then she'll do the NCAA, and then, you know, all that rejection she has to handle. How do you manage that?
Well, our team is a kind of different type of team, and because we do have the different ages, and that wasn't necessarily by design. It kind of happened that way. And it is a mental struggle for the younger kids versus the older kids, but I think it has to be ingrained in people, just like work ethic, just like anything else. It has to be ingrained in them. Some people have it. We know those people that they're just go-getters. They have it. God has just given it to them. Then others of us, it has to be taught. It has to be constantly ingrained in them over and over and over again. And one day they get it. We call it the light clicks on. And one day that light clicks on, and they say, oh, I got it. Sometimes it happens early. Sometimes it happens later. With our team, I think the older girls have helped the younger girls kind of see it, and that's to their advantage. The younger girls' advantage, because they're seeing the older girls work hard, and they're getting to play with older girls and against older girls. So now, once they get to that time where colleges can really just sign them, because it's a different time period that colleges can actually sign you, they'll be ready.
I noticed as well, too, that playing sports at a young age or starting it early, but particularly now that you're playing a team or your young girls are playing a team sport, that the discipline that and the skills of discipline that they receive now really helps them through life, learning, A, how to play in a team, but also how to develop, and perhaps we can talk to your player about it, but developing that kind of oneness to practice and hone your own skills. The discipline that's required really takes one through life.
Yes, that's true. It helps them with discipline. My oldest daughter has said so many times that because she played select basketball as well, she said that discipline that we instilled in her, it helped her now. Mm-hmm. It helped her learn how to deal with people at work that you really don't want to deal with every day.
Right.
It helps you, you know, to stay focused.
Just block everybody out.
Yeah. So I think that helps a lot with that. And I think sports in general helps with that because, like you said, it helps you learn how to work in a different type of environment. And you get to meet different people that you wouldn't necessarily normally meet mm-hmm. or normally talk to. Mm-hmm. On a daily basis. And I think that helps us, too, to be more rounded people.
Yeah, because you learn to adjust, because these are your teammates, some of whom you may not have known prior to becoming teammates. You learn how to deal with people on different levels. And I know, Jack, on the other side of the break, because we're within a minute, I kind of, Stephen, if we can talk to your player as well, too, when we come back, just to kind of find out how it is navigating those waters, being a team player.
Yeah.
On the other side.
Okay.
Sound like a plan?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. And we're back. We're on with Stephen Gregory, a coach. Stephen, I mean, what is the name of your team?
Houston It's On Club Basketball.
Houston.
It's On.
It's On.
Uh-oh.
It's a phrase. Houston, it's on. And let me tell you, I saw some of his players last week before I flew back in.
Uh-huh.
And these girls, let me tell you, they are so professional. Their courtesy and etiquette, you know that they are leaders ready to make it to this tournament and do their thing on the court and shine for their city.
Wow. I like that. It's On Club. That's a Houston.
It's on.
Uh-oh. Houston is in the house.
Yes, exactly.
We're gonna try to be.
You have two teams with your It's On. Now, one is Showtime. And the other team?
Is the Lady Comets.
The Lady
Comets. Two girl teams. Right. And then we also have a boys team called the Playmakers.
Uh-oh. Oh, nice. See, those actually are affirmation names.
They are.
They know what they're going out there to do. Now, which one of your players, young ladies, is joining us today?
Tierra is on the phone with us today.
Yeah.
She's a senior. From Kempner High School here in Houston, Texas. Actually, the suburb of Houston from Sugar Land.
So. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Tierra.
Hello.
How are you? Welcome.
Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, we're good. So what's it like getting ready for this level of play?
I'm super excited. I mean, I'm not too nervous because the excitement overpowers it. So I'm ready. Ready to do what I came down there to do.
What position do you play?
I play center, but coach can have me in any position. I'll try my best to succeed at what I need to do.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's a student of the game, folks.
Flexible, versatile. Go ahead, girl.
So what's it like now? I'm asking her because as a young lady and working with other young ladies, can you share some of the insights on the value of being a team player and the respect and unity that has to exist among young ladies playing basketball?
I mean, yeah, we respect each other because we have to. I mean, if we don't on the court, it's just going to all fall apart. You have to be a team in order to play like a team. You know, sometimes we do get mad at each other, and we, like, on the court, it shows sometimes, but we got to get that out of our head and just keep doing what we have to do. But other than that, I mean, I love my team. I wouldn't trade them in for the world.
That's awesome. Well, you guys are going to be doing a couple of tournaments together, so the love is definitely going to be seen and felt. Maybe not for the other teams that y'all beat, but I know for y'all.
No, competition is competition. We love them after we beat them. But how do you manage that, though? How do you manage those disagreements internally amongst yourselves? Do you, you know, talk it out then or do you not, you know, how do you not let it fester so that it affects you on the court?
Well, usually we don't really, you know, just talk about it because we know that when one of our teammates does something wrong, they know they did something wrong. So we don't, you know, just yell at them for that because we know that we don't want to beat them down any more than they're beating themselves down. We want to motivate them to do better instead of bringing their spirit down even more, because if you bring the spirit down even more, it makes their play bad. Mm-hmm. So you have to motivate them, keep them going, and bring the spirit back up.
We need to have her talk to some of these people in Congress, Jackie.
I'm saying, I mean, because she said, I think her quote was best said, mm-hmm. You've got to, you know, play like a team in order to be a team player. Mm-hmm. You know, those things are so important. The team and group dynamics are what got them to where they are in this amazingly unique position, you know, to come to D.C. to play. But, Coach, you guys also have another age group or group that's going to Atlanta the following day, or is this the same group of girls going to that tournament as well?
It's the same group. The same group is going to Atlanta as well.
Wow.
So, go right ahead.
They have a field end of the month. Because in Atlanta, that's an Adidas National Showcase, somewhat like Washington. But you have another group of college coaches that'll be in Atlanta. So the whole thing is you're trying to get them in front of as many colleges as possible so many people can see them so they can get different opportunities to get scholarships.
That's great. That's really great. And how long during the summer is it? Just, you know, okay, so it's July 21st through 25th in D.C. And how long is it in Atlanta?
And Atlanta's the 27th through the 29th.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. And then is there any place after that, or is that it?
Oh, well, that's it for us. That's it. The NCAA, how they have it built and structured now, they have it where the Division I colleges can only go out and view players at certain times during the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they can only do it once in April, and now they can do it three times in July. The first weekend in July, and then the last three or four weekends in July.
Mm-hmm.
They have different tournaments in different parts of the country. And, you know, you try to pick what tournament is best for you guys. What I do is I try to pick the tournaments that have different colleges as well as Texas schools that will be there to see the girls. And because you never know where they might go.
So, Tierra, what have you learned, what skills have you learned on the court that have helped you off the court so far?
Leadership, being able to talk as a leader and talk to your teammates and help them succeed at what they need to do. Because I recently just got a job, and I believe basketball had a lot to do with that. It helped me, you know, answer questions honestly and make eye contact and make sure that what I'm saying is being heard.
Key. I'm so proud of you. I haven't even met you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your high school graduate.
Exactly.
You know, you cannot sleep on the quality of the education plays, but then also what team sports do in the life of the player. Because as she stated, it's both on the court and off the court, and being able to make those skills transferable, you know, to deal with everyday life situations.
And, you know, when they talk about cutting girls' programming and sports programs from school because they, quote unquote, aren't bringing in the money, as we can see here, they bring in so much more. You know, they, like you said, they're those transferable skills, those hidden things that you may not even see, but they translate into life lessons that can carry one through life. It's amazing.
Yes, that's very true.
It's amazing. And just to take, you know, because you never know what a young person is dealing with at home, and then having the ability to come play on a team in a team environment, on a team sport, you can kind of, for a few hours per session, kind of block that all out and just focus on your craft and focus on your team and just, you know, enjoy. And also know that if you need a group of sisters or teammates to talk to, they're there for you. So I imagine, Tierra, that's also good for those teammates that may not have siblings or as well, because it's an extended family kind of environment.
Yeah, we are a family. Like, we tell each other, well, not everything, but what we do know about each other is something good. Like, well, we're sisters.
That's good, because you can't tell everybody everything anyway. So it's good. You have to learn how to discern. So that's wonderful. Go ahead, Jack.
Exactly.
So, Coach, getting this team ready, you're taking how many players and coaches along with you, as well as chaperones? What is the cost involved and associated with moving your team from Houston to D.C. to Atlanta? There is some level of financial resource that's needed to make certain that you guys can get to where you're going.
Exactly. To take 12 players and coaches, it costs, like, for D.C., for the plane tickets, cost $4,220. That's just for the plane tickets to go and come. And to stay hotel, it's another $2,500. So they can stay for the 4 days there as well. Now, the good thing about D.C. is, you know, you guys have the subway system, and we don't have to get any transportation because where we're staying is close to the convention center.
Right.
But
you got to eat.
Well, yeah, you got to eat. So that's not fact. we'll figure that out. But yeah, you have to eat. And then the cost, so that is close to, what, $6,000, $6,700 for Washington. In Atlanta, the plane tickets to take the whole team is around $3,200. And to stay there in their hotel for 4 days is another $2,100. And then, but in Atlanta, we have to get bands, because unfortunately in Atlanta, it's set up a little differently. So you have to drive to, so we're going to get 3 7-passenger vans at another $1,000. So that's about $6,200 for that trip. So it gets up there.
So it's about $12,000-$15,000.
Yeah,
for both trips.
Trips, yeah, combined.
Now you guys are doing a whole grassroots thing. You're doing sponsorships, or are you doing the fundraising?
What's been
your strategy?
Taking donations. We've been doing everything we could think possible. Trying to have raffles. We're trying to do everything to get them there, because what with our team, with our organization, when me and my wife started off about 7 years ago, we knew a lot of our kids come from single-parent homes with, you know, single parent with multiple kids. So a lot of our parents can't afford to just, hey, drop $300 or $400 at a time to go here and there. So we try to do different fundraisers and have different opportunities to do that. But with some of the fundraisers that are more lucrative, you have to be an adult to do it. So if you're not 18, you can't really do it.
Right.
That means, like, we go to the Toyota Center is one of our fundraisers here in Houston where they have the basketball games and stuff. But since they sell alcohol, you have to be 18 years of age to go. Well, a lot of our kids aren't 18, so they can't go, and their parents are working, so they can't go. So we had to try to find out different things, like when you saw us, when we had the pleasant opportunity to meet you, we're trying to do other things and just trying to get people to help us any way possible.
Do you have a GoFundMe page or anything like that, or a website?
Yes, ma'am. We do have a website. It is Houston's Own Club Basketball. Our web address is www.etamz.com/II-t-s-n. And when you go to that website, it has actually a donation link for anyone that wants to donate to help us with our cause to go. And then it has other information about the team and, you know, test scores and to take tests and how to get into college and all that kind of thing.
Let's take a quick break. And then, Jackie, on the other side, let's talk about the importance of this effort and all efforts to get our kids to a better place.
Oh, I think that is so important that we have a dialogue about funding, because kids are smart, they're talented, they're gifted, they've got their own ability to succeed in college, but they don't have the resources to get to that other resource. And I think it's important to our listeners to understand that this could be your kid one day. And so we're going to get that website back again when we come back on the other side of the break, so we can see how we can do.
That's right.
Or what we can do to help.
That's right. 1-800.
We'll be back.
1-800-450-7876. We're back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We're on with Coach Stephen Gregory. He is the coach of Houston It's On Club. He has three teams, Showtime, Lady Comets, and the Playmakers, who aren't playing right now. But the other two will be in a tournament here in D.C. at the Convention Center July 21st through the 25th, and then in Atlanta on the 27th through the 29th.
Yeah. The website, as Coach was giving, is www.etamz.com/its-on-etamz.com.
You got it?
And make sure you capitalize the I and capitalize the O, because it's case sense.
Oh, okay. So Jack, we're on the other side of the break. We're talking about funding and the importance of supporting our young people at this stage, so that they know that there's a community behind them. They're not just by themselves, but you're representing not just Houston, not just D.C., not just Atlanta. They're representing the next generation and generation behind them, and the generation in front of them that maybe wasn't the best example, but there are hope to correct that example. So it's important for us to support them in any way we can, whether it's a dollar, whether it's not a dime, but a few dimes, so that we can help them play and take that pressure off of them while they're representing. I know I used to come from a church when my pastor used to say, you know, soft donations only. So, you know, we want to really have that mindset that if we have to give up those two or three cups of Starbucks, you know, let's do it. Let's go to the website and support these kids. It's vitally important. Go ahead, Jackie.
Well, I am in full agreement. I love any program or organizations that are supporting what youth are doing. And I think it also You know, and we hear this a lot when we say, oh, so-and-so won the MVP or so-and-so got drafted to something. We never consider how a team or a person had to pay their dues. So this is a part of that process that they're having to see. We've got to, you know, as grown folks say, get our hustle on. We've got to go out and share with people how good we are as a team and why they should support us. As your player is listening, what would you tell our listening audience about what it would mean to you guys to be able to get to your tournament?
It's a lot of hard work because, you know, not every player is able to pay everything up front. So when we do fundraise, we fundraise not only for ourselves but for everybody else. So right back at it, it's a team effort.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell. And how... What does it mean to you to know that there is a community beyond your immediate neighborhood that is supporting you?
It feels really good because then it helps us and allows us to go bigger and beyond what we have just right now. I mean, the people, if they really want to help, it'll help benefit more than just one team because then other teams are going to start looking at it and then they're going to want to do more. It's like a ripple effect. It'll just keep moving forward.
That's it. Moving forward.
Now, where did you say you go to school?
I just graduated from Kipner High School. I was in class of 2014.
Okay. We're going to have to send somebody a letter.
Yes.
the way that you express your thoughts, first of all, you're real clear about what your goals are and what you want to do as a player. But you also know how to articulate your feelings and emotions about what it takes to go to the next level. I mean, are you waiting? You've applied for college, yes. And are you waiting to hear back from a college? You know, what does some of your essays sound like?
I recently received a scholarship to go to a junior college up by Lubbock, Texas. So starting August 23rd, I will be going to Clarendon College.
That's wonderful. And I hope that y'all heard what she said, because she said it was a junior college.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people frown on, oh, you didn't get to go to a four-year. This is a launching point, and she understands the value of starting somewhere, because it's going to take her to her next step, and then the next step after that, and then the one that comes after that step.
Yeah, like while I was talking with the college coach, she said most universities, the four-year universities, they go to junior colleges first before they recruit right outside of high school, because the junior colleges have more experience than ones coming right out of high school. So they want a team that can keep going and have the experience that they're already looking for.
I commend you, Tierra, because like Jackie said, if you didn't have it all together, you know, I know you got at least two more recommendations that could be written, because you are phenomenal. You really are.
Thank you.
Just phenomenal, baby. Just keep up. Keep doing what you're doing. Really.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
So, Coach, what's next?
Well, we just hope that that the listeners out there support our vision and what we're trying to do for the girls to get them there and to understand that, like we all said, that it's a bigger picture involved. And also, it's a lot of kids out there that just don't have the opportunity. And we have a lot of kids, you know, especially when you deal with on the boys' side too, that they get into trouble and get into all this extra stuff because they have idle time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get a part of something, be it basketball, football, or what have you, and they can set goals, and then their time is occupied. Now they're not thinking about all the negative things. Now they're thinking about positive things. But in our community, a lot of times, a lot of our kids don't feel that they can do it. They don't feel they have a support system because maybe they're looking at home or maybe, you know, they hear a lot of negative things. But I think this right here is a testament that it's bigger than our little community. You know, we have a bunch of communities. We're coming together to try to help each other out, to try to help our kids to go to the next level. So hopefully the people that are listening, this will give them some encouragement to know that people out there do want to help you. You know.
You gave me another website that was related to the tournament in, let's see, that's a tournament in Atlanta. So the tournament in Atlanta, even though all the donations can be made to www.eetamz.com. It's on .com after the slash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the reason why I wanted to mention that is because the team is also listed on for the Swanee tournament, yes?
Yes, that's the one in Atlanta. Well, we say Atlanta, but yeah.
Well, okay, in the Atlanta area.
In the Atlanta area.
Is, yeah, sponsorship for players that are coming to Atlanta. And the reason I said that is because the show is broadcast across all 50 states. And for those of you who are listening in Atlanta, our Houston team is coming to your town. And so we want to be certain that, you know, the students have an opportunity to be able to get to Atlanta. And the website that is related, you know, for this particular team is www.hostmytournament.com. Yeah. And there you'll be able to look up Houston It's On and go and support there or send donations directly to. And I think it's good that students and parents work together in order to be able to facilitate something positive, you know, and this would have a very positive result in the life of these young ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And they, when they go to Host My Tournament, also that website, they just scroll down and they will find the Adidas National Tournament, click on it, and it has all the list of teams there. And we're listed as one of the teams that are coming there as well. And so they can see what we're doing. And when they go to our website, they can click on our team. They can click on Showtime and see the different teams they're playing. They can see what they've done in years past and how they've been progressing and going. And we're just trying to keep going so these kids can have, like, again, have the opportunity to play, because a lot of times, a lot of our kids don't go to the other side of town, let alone go to another state.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right. So many of them, it's going to be their first time riding on an airplane.
Yeah, first time riding on an airplane. I remember, I don't know if y'all remember, when Fresh Prince of Bel-Air first came out.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I was like, oh, nobody can live in Bel-Air. I mean, because we didn't know anybody like that. We didn't, you know, our friends were just the people in our neighborhood. So all that was a fantasy of the college. That was a fantasy. But that's real life. But we have to get out and see and explore. So our kids can know that they can have and obtain all these things they want to do.
Yeah, it used to be growing up, and I think in some environments it's still true today. So I hate to start a conversation with when I was growing up because it sounds so old-fashioned and dated. But the reality is opportunity and access used to be the two things that stood in the way of people from our communities being able to get out and go and see the world. Well, now these girls have opportunity because they're using their own skill set to get there. They're not asking for any type of handout. They have paved the way using their talent as basketball players and leaders to get there. And then they have the access through the tournaments that are created through the USJN and then also through Adidas, providing them with a platform to showcase their abilities. But now funding becomes an issue, because where once money was lucrative, you could go to your local academy or your Walmart or the local pop shop and, you know, they would say, yeah, I'll sponsor your team. How much money you need? They'll write a check and they'll write it off on their taxes. But that doesn't happen as much anymore. We have to rely on the in-kind donations of your average everyday person, your neighbor even, in order to make opportunity and access a reality, because it does take funding.
It takes a lot of funding. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, I say yes. I was just in agreement.
It takes a lot of funding, and it also takes a lot of support. You know, the time that you put in takes away from your family as well, too. And you know, you have to be cognizant of that as well, too. So we commend you as well, too, because it's a labor of love. I've been a coach, so I understand what you're going through. But it truly is a labor of love, because you see the potential, and then you also have a hand in shaping and molding that for future aspects of it. So I commend you. I really do. Everything you're doing, the girls, you, your family, you know, you've got, I'm just so proud just to have you on with us and to learn more.
We really thank you for having us.
So the website again is, Jack, I must have had it wrong. It's
www.eteamz.com/
It's on?
It's on. That is correct.
Okay. Capital T, capital O.
Capital I, capital O.
Oh, well, see, that's why I didn't have it. No wonder I couldn't find it.
We have this running joke on our show, Coach, is that things we tell, things that we need to tell our senior self, and that is write it down. And so our senior self is trying to write this down. So that's why Karen is... Yeah, that's why Karen is over there making sure she gets it right, because her senior self is over there.
Which is why... And the other running joke, Stephen, is like, you know, Jackie is the social guru. I don't do anything, hardly.
Oh, the social media stuff.
Yes, because yeah. I never get it right. I'm always, you know, 2 weeks behind. I'm like, oh, do you hear? It's always too late.
Well, I'm like that too. My kids keep me abreast of what's going on, and like I said, a teen, they laugh at me all the time about this and that because I say stuff wrong all the time.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This is Conversation with Jackie and Karen. We want to say thank you to Stephen Gregory and his one of his players, Tierra, for joining us today to tell us about their tournament here in D.C., July 21st through the 25th at the Convention Center, and then the 27th through the 29th in Atlanta. It is the Houston It's On Club. And Stephen or Tierra, any closing remarks before we let you go?
I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, same here. Thank you. And if you want to be out there and support us, please, by all means, do that.
I'm going to come on through. I can't tell you what. I'll probably carry some kind of sign so that you know. And I'll try not to embarrass you, but I'm going to come through.
That'll be wonderful.
Yeah, they're going to win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Now, you guys are playing all 3 days. What's the elimination process? How does that work?
How does it work? You play, it's pool play first. So you play the first day one game, the second day two games, the third day two games. And then, depending on how you did with those games, they put you in a bracket. Once you get into bracket play, then a single elimination is win or go home. So you get to play in the pool with other teams and kind of position yourself for the bracket play.
So no matter how you do on the 21st, 22nd, or 23rd, you're playing on that final day?
You still play on that other day. You still go to
awesome.
Bracket.
Okay, cool.
Okay. No, I love that idea. Well, you guys make sure you play safe. And when you're outside hanging with your friends and your crew that don't understand, you know, what you're fighting for and what your strive is, you know, keep people out your space, lady.
That's
who
right.
are where you trying to go? Because we've seen too many athletes on the rise be hooked up and caught up with, you know,
nonsense.
The wrong people. Their star is rising. Don't let anybody shoot you down.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good day. All right. Do the same. I'm sure we'll have you guys back on at some point. So we'll talk again.
Okay.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Jack, back on local politics.
Do we have to do local politics?
We announced at the top. We got to just mention a little bit.
I know. We're going to do local politics because I think one of the most interesting races happening right now is Anthony Brown.
Isn't it?
In Maryland.
Isn't it?
And this is truly local politics because he's currently lieutenant governor.
Yes, he is.
Running for mayor, 53%, 23%.
For governor.
For governor, absolutely. And I think that is absolutely amazing. I mean, he's got the support of the voters.
He does.
In his area, he's been doing a phenomenal job. People know his work. But then there's this other election. This is just a primary.
And he has to nail it down in November. But the key thing is that we have another opportunity, just like we did in Massachusetts, for Maryland to elect its first African American governor, just like, well, Virginia, Massachusetts, and now Maryland. So it's a few and far between opportunity.
Right. I think at some point, Corey Briscoe of CCB Global is going to be joining us. He's a millennial. And okay. I love getting the perspectives of millennials, because people coming into office now, they represent their generation. Mm-hmm. And they look for something quite different.
Yeah.
Than what we were looking for when we were, you know, in our 20s, you know, going out to vote and different things like that. Their whole campaign strategies, what they look at, how they see it, they really do think bigger picture.
Yes.
We always talk about think big picture, but they think bigger picture, broader opportunities and understanding. So I'll be looking forward to hearing some of his perspective about Anthony Brown and Mayor. That semi-pseudo faux concession speech last night. I mean,
did you notice that?
I noticed that. I turned on the television and it was almost like I may not have won this primary, but yet I'm still running for office. Don't count me out for something later down the road speech. You know, it was a really good speech, but I was confused. And then when I saw the numbers, I'm like, this is supposed to be a concession speech and there's no conceding going on right here.
Exactly. No, nothing of the kind. I think Corey's on with us shortly, but yeah, Corey's on with us, so we'll have him come on in. But the other thing is that, Charlie Rangel won again. He pulled it out again in New York. But when you look at it, you know, you have these races going on, and it's vitally important for you know, with low turnout. Again, we talk about the down ballot races, but when you have one here locally and you have Anthony Brown coming in there, you know, you've got to do what you got to do. Come out and vote. And I'm glad that people did. Hey, Corey, absolutely. How you doing?
Hey there. How are you all?
We're good.
We are good. Oh, yeah, Corey is our resident politician.
Yeah, we're
going to
make him
with a perspective.
We're going to make him our political reporter.
Yes. So, Mr. Political Correspondent, what's happening in the life of the millennials and Anthony Brown?
Well, I tell you this. You're looking at, when we talk about Maryland politics, I think it was one to watch, and I think the nation watched it. One, you'll have Anthony Brown coming in, who, if elected, which I'm sure he will be because he is a Democratic gubernatorial candidate in the state of Maryland, which is a Democratic state, will be the first African-American male governor in this state. And when you look at how he engaged, it was quite interesting. Anthony Brown, he engaged young folks, but he didn't quantify a focus on it. The focus wasn't necessarily the young folk. Did he get out the vote? Of course he did, but it also helps when you're the lieutenant governor. When you're the lieutenant governor, in this case, it definitely did. He had some candidates that laid out policies and politics across the board, but the challenge you had here was that he was an incumbent with a strong enough record, and I think people are happy with Maryland politics. If you are a Maryland politician and what they've done in the state, if you look at the election results, the incumbents won. You go from Donna Edwards, who won with over 89% of the vote.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, things like that. Not to say a status quo, but it says that people are either one, they're comfortable with the way the state's going, or people are not as involved as they should be in the political process. One thing I like to highlight is that Maryland's across the board, from the gubernatorial all the way down to local delegate, it was one of the worst turnouts we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to look at what's going on. Is it that, you know, we only get out and vote at these really high contested races, or is it, you know, that people are kind of, you know, fed up with the process?
But Corey, don't you think, if you recall, I believe it was last year, the year before, when C. Anthony Muse was running against Ben Cardin, that was also a low voter turnout that year as well, too. And this year was less than that. And I'm not saying that he could have won, but if folk had really turned out, he would have given them a run for his money. And we could have perhaps in Maryland had an African-American U.S. senator.
I agree 100%. It's dismal at best when we look at these voter, I mean, in general. And I'm talking about from Baltimore City, where you look at some of these local races and some of these races for delegates. I mean, we were seeing numbers as crazy low as 900 for a delegate to the state house. I mean, you know, you don't expect these, I'm not expecting these numbers to get 10,000, but you expect these numbers to reach low thousands, and you expect people to be voting. And the pot, it's just the involvement's not there. And the one thing I caution Anthony Brownstein, I don't think he did a good job. I think he ran on his own. I don't think he engaged the people as he could have. I met him a wonderful time, and I think he...
That's not his personality, though.
It's just not.
It's not who he is. He's very kind of...
Old God.
Yes.
For lack of words.
Yes. And he doesn't come off as... engaging, or I don't need a politician to be warm and funny, warm and fuzzy, but I do need you to at least give me the impression that you're taking an interest in me, and it might be his military training and the area of work that he did. I don't know, but that's just not who he is.
Yeah, and I think it's very interesting. When you look at this political process, you look at Rangel. You look at some of these highly contested races, mm-hmm. and you've got to be interested. I tell you, Rangel had to be putting up some prayers, because I'm telling you, no one knew how that race was going to turn out. Yeah. You know, there was a point where we were literally, as I think the AP was reporting, that we were within a matter of a few hundred,
yeah.
a matter of a few hundred votes determining this race. And then you go down to Mississippi, mm-hmm. where, you know, you have Thad Cochran and that Tea Party, and that's a race that I think, if anyone, we talk about the millennials' influence and the influence of African Americans, mm-hmm. it's looking at that Mississippi race.
Yes,
because
yes.
the reality is, the only reason that Republican is in office right now is because African American constituents mobilized and said, look, the reality is, we can't get our state blue, but we certainly aren't going to let the Tea Party come in with their policies. And that was the reality.
And interesting,
and that's how he pulled it up.
And interesting, because I was watching Freedom Schools yesterday and the impact of everything in Mississippi. And ironically, that race, as contentious as it was, I agree with you. It was the 80% of the African-American Mississippians that were like, we're going to deal with the devil that we know. And we're not going back to where we, you know, where we came from, essentially.
And the reality is, look, man, I think that, I mean, whether you like that Cochran's policies or not, let me tell you something. You give him his talks, because the one thing he did, he got out there and he mobilized whatever he needed to do to win that election. He took it in different demographics. He took, for example, young African Americans. He took his support for historically black colleges and universities. He supported, he talked about a lot of his policies that do affect low income. And while I think people will argue that, I'm sure it's not where they want in Mississippi, you're kind of dealing with the less of the two evils. I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah.
I think, and that's what people looked at. It's like, all right, we have this guy. We know some of the policies don't affect us greatly. But here we go. We bring in this new challenger who's going to come in and sweeping, do sweeping change.
Well, Corey, thank you. We got to go. But thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
We appreciate it.
All right.
All right, Miss Gabrielle, you had something you wanted to say?
Thank you, Miss Jackie. I'm really happy to be here on this show.
Thank you, Miss Gabrielle, for joining us. And you've heard that. And we're signing off for Conversation with Jackie and Kieran. Have a good day, everybody.
See you next week.
We're on Lunch Hour, talking about what you want to be talking about. Light Fare.
With a serious spin. Whether it be sports, faith, parenting.
Balance, relationships, education, community. Coaching.
Starting over. How do you reboot yourself?
Ministry. Relevant, resonant, and real.
Whatever it is, we want to talk about it.
Call in. Ask us questions. Be anonymous.
Senior moments.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Whatever it is, join us on Wednesdays.
Wildin' Out Wednesdays?
Absolutely.
Join us. I'm Jackie.
I'm Karen.
Write it down. 1450 AM, WOL.
Noon to 1.